Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Like a rat in a cage, pulling minimum wage. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down. New York, you're safer, and you're wasting my time. Our records all show you were filthy but fine. But they shuttered your stores when you opened the door to the cops who were bored once they'd run out of
cars. It's the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington thing.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m. Brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White and Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this interesting piece that we are listening to?
That is New York, I Love You, But You're Bringing Me Down by LCD Sound System. I figured the city of New York needed a lament this morning.
Yeah, there was quite the lament last night. There was a much lamentable about last night. Indeed, you did a ranking of the lamentable things about last night. The number five most lamentable thing, the run-of-the-mill blowout home loss. This is if you follow Chris Harrington on Twitter, Harrington NBA. You should, by the way. If you don't, you're doing it wrong. Number five most lamentable thing was the run-of-the-mill blowout home loss. The number four was the faulty plumbing. We'll get to that in a moment. The number three was the Elfrid Payton frustration cheap shot. The number two was the deserving sell the team chant. And the number one most lamentable thing from last night from the New York Knicks was the Marcus Morris misogyny. Chris, nice ranking. Appreciate that. You also, by the way, on Twitter, had a wonderful, Taylor Jenkins tweet showing his hold 'em back technique from prior years.
Yeah,
he failed him last night.
He needs to take his assistant coaches into the film room and,
and
brush up on that. Yeah,
absolutely right. So what'd you make of that scuffle?
I actually do think that I think Crowder probably should not
have to have done that. No.
It was unnecessary on Crowder's part. It was like the Knicks had already like wet themselves in the living room floor. He didn't need to take their face and like rub it in it. You know, that's basically what Jay Crowder did.
That's exactly right.
And you know, Jay Crowder does not own the Knicks. It's not for him to like rub their nose in it, probably. So I totally, and Brevin Knight even said this on the broadcast, I totally understand like not liking that and wanting to foul the guy shooting.
Hard foul. Yeah.
I do think there's a line between hard foul and cheap
shot. And
a flat
out push.
Yeah. When a guy's in the air and you shove him into the, like a guy can really get hurt that way, right? And so, yeah, I think Elfrid Payton took it a little bit too far. Although I will say, I mean, it is eye of the beholder. Once upon a time, there was a similar situation with the Grizzlies and Peja Stojakovic, when they were up 25 or whatever in Sacramento, was trying to get his first 40-point game and went up at the end of the game for a shot, and James Posey tackled him, like flat tackled him, and that made James Posey a cult hero in Memphis, right? And so the problem with the Knicks is like there's nothing they can do for anyone to be a hero
in
New York,
heroic. Right? Exactly.
And so
they make it worse with their comments afterwards. It's not unlike the Kansas State fight from a couple weeks ago. The kid did not have to steal the ball and dunk it. That's what, I don't know if you even saw this. He did not have to steal the ball and dunk it. Actually, the block, the Kansas went back, blocked the shot. That's a hard block. That was totally understandable. Game was way out of hand at this point. The losing team actually was the one that went and scored the extra points. That was K-State. But then it was the taunting at the end that sort of triggered it, and here it was the push that triggered it.
Right.
But then Marcus Morris in the locker room afterwards.
Marcus Morris also before then shoved Ja Morant into the seats for no reason whatsoever.
Ja right. got the hell out of there.
Yeah. Yoda stepped in front. Yoda stepped in front and basically stood in front of five Knicks players.
Clint Eastwood's right there. Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. He can wall off. Jonas can wall. I counted three. I think Jonas can wall off three Knicks players at one time. I will ask you this, though. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Guterich both technically left the bench.
I guess.
Do you think anything will...
We've been over this before in other situations. I am a spirit of the law guy.
Right.
And so to me, it'd be preposterous to suspend them because they did not. The idea is you don't want players getting involved in things on the floor and escalating them. They came nowhere close to anything that was happening. In fact, Jaren was already standing up.
He was already
up.
There because the three.
He was standing up, celebrating on the corner, and he took like a few steps along the baseline. I don't even know if he came out onto the court itself, just sort of to look at what was happening, and then they went back. And so if you want to be a real stickler, I guess you could suspend them for quote-unquote leaving the bench. But the idea is leave the bench to get involved or to make things worse or they came nowhere close in intent or in actuality to doing anything.
If they are, it will feel unjust if they are, but you'll be surprised if they are.
I mean, I go back to the thing that started all that when the Suns players got suspended for quote unquote leaving the bench in a playoff game when they came nowhere close to the action, and that was horrible. It's like you're ruining your own playoffs. It was all an overreaction at the time to what had happened with the Pistons and the Pacers and the whole Malice thing. That's where that rule came from,
right?
And then it got, I believe it was it Nash and Stoudemire? No, Nash is the one who got shoved. And so it was like Stoudemire and Marion or something. They literally took like three steps off the bench and got nowhere near anything and got suspended for a playoff game. And so from that moment on, I am out on a hard imposition of that rule.
I guess the reason they do it is they say, well, we need a hard imposition of the rule, or which ones are we going to look like we're enforcing or not? But I'm with you. That would be preposterous.
I'm a fan of judicial
Use judgment. Good judgment. Use judgment. And see what's happening.
Discretion is the word.
So on top of that, also you had plumbing listed as one of your lamentable things from the Knicks.
Yeah, I guess the question there is, was that faulty plumbing at Madison Square Garden?
Tell the people what happened.
Or was that dirty tricks? Apparently, according to one of the Knicks reporters who went to the Grizzlies locker room, there was no water pressure and no hot water in the visitors' locker room, and Ja Morant was complaining about he couldn't take a shower.
He
after
said
the
basically
game.
He's taken cold showers before, but there's got to be water pressure to take a cold shower,
right?
And they didn't have either. Yes, was it just the Madison Square Garden's old? That's what
or was it? Or was it dirty tricks?
Or was it dirty tricks? Was it dirty? But James Dolan, you can actually believe it would be dirty tricks.
Yes,
he has the reputation of someone. Who you can make believe it was dirty tricks. And then, of course, on top of it, we had the sell the team chant, which is he's just, as Dan Devine just said, the guy makes money hand over fist. He's never going to sell the team unless he was so humiliated by it that he's like, you. If that's your hope, I think you can hope the team becomes well run.
Right.
That something happens that the team becomes well run. But I don't see how you can help that. I mean, and I guess that's. That is all there is for the Knicks. Like, what is there for the Knicks? It's just atrocious.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, what needs to happen? But it's hard just to imagine because the owner is the owner, right? Is he needs to hire? He needs to do what Michael Heiser did with Jerry West and be like, okay, you're in charge. And that's what they're trying to do with Masai Ujiri, actually, which is the right idea. They just haven't been able to get it done. But if you're that guy, if you're Masai Ujiri, whoever, do you really have faith that? They're going to leave you alone, right?
You would have to have so much money over such a long period that it wouldn't matter.
You have to hire someone, give them total control, and tell them, pretend you're not the Knicks. You don't have to be the Knicks.
Right.
Be an NBA franchise X and run it in a smart way.
Don't do what you did this summer. You don't want mediocrity. You can be awful. Right. You can be awful for a couple of years if that's what it takes.
Pretend you're not the
Knicks.
And
honestly, it is a place where they can be awful. That's the other thing.
Right.
People make the argument the other way. They can't afford to be awful because they're the Knicks. No, they're one team that can't afford to be awful.
Not only can they afford to be awful, they've been awful for 20 years.
they still improved. Pack them in.
Right.
It's amazing. Like, to me, the amazing thing about that sell the team last cheer last night was how many people were there chanting "Sell the team," like it was packed.
If some team in a smaller market was that bad for that long and run that poorly, it would be such a different and more fraught situation than it is with Dolan and the Knicks.
One of the fun things about this is that so Crowder was ejected. So the Knicks got to pick who shot the free throws. And because he was fouled on the – obviously he was fouled on the attempt. So they picked Josh Jackson, who's like a 60-something percent free throw shooter, and he made all three.
Yeah, good for him.
How about that? All right, the game itself, there was a competitive enterprise sort of before then. Anything to take away from it besides the fact that the Grizzlies are now at 500?
I mean, the Knicks are terrible. It was sort of similar to some of the recent games they've had against other bad teams where the first half is a little bit of a muddle, and then the second half they just turn it on and run away. I mean, they did that against Minnesota at home. They did that against Golden State, I think, at home. Cleveland didn't quite run away, but it was similar. And so you have this pattern of, like, it's sort of a good team pattern sometimes where, you know, you sort of, like Miami did to the Grizzlies at the start of the season, where you're just sort of like going through the motions a little bit, not going through the motions, but you're playing, sort of feeling each other out, and you're exchanging buckets, and then, okay, it's time to win the game, and then it's over. And that they're doing that to some of these bad teams now.
Right.
And that's what it was. It was just, I mean, there was nothing special from the Grizzlies. And, you know, Jaren Jackson had his first half was probably the worst half he's had in a long time. He was good in the second half. Dylan Brooks, it's gotten to the point where Dylan Brooks scoring 27 points is not even, like, noteworthy. And Ja Morant was great.
It is amazing. It's not even worthy.
Yeah.
How good is Dylan Brooks?
I mean, I think – I don't think he's going to average – you know, he's probably averaging 22 points a game over the last month or so. I don't think he'll average that, like, next season on the season. But I think you have to, at this point, acknowledge that he is a legitimate, meaningful NBA scorer who can hold his own defensively, and that's the profile of a quality starter in the NBA. And so he's a quality starter. And I think that change, that's different from what a lot of us thought even a couple months ago. I think he's sort of proven that you know, I think it's still possible that he becomes like the sixth man on a good team, which there are a lot of players who are six men on good teams that are better than a lot of starters around the league, right? So that's more of a role question than a quality question. But I think, you know, Dylan Brooks as a double-digit scorer in the NBA, like a meaningful double-digit scorer in whatever role he's in, I think we can just say that's what he is now.
We did a podcast yesterday at the Daily Memphian. Where do people find that if they want to find it, Chris?
Well, hopefully they can subscribe wherever, you know, if you listen to podcasts, hopefully you get it straight to your phone, but you can go to the Daily Memphian website. There's a story file. You can find it too.
One of the things that you, you brought up yesterday is that for all the wonderful things that have happened over the past month, the leading scorer for the Grizzlies in January is very clearly Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
And it's probably not close, is it? I mean,
it's not. No, it's by a couple points. Yeah. I mean, I want to say, no, Jaren probably. Jaren is actually the leading scorer in the season, but it's close. I think Jaren and Ja both been around 18, and I think Dylan Brooks and Jonas Valanciunas are in that 15 range, and then like Brandon Clark's at 12. Yeah.
What? It's funny. If Dylan Brooks is not a sixth man, if he's a legitimate starting high quality two for you, what does this team need? Not now. What does this team need?
Like a small forward who
does what?
Let's break this down into two things. The first thing you need is like the best player you can get, who's like who can play with Jaren Jackson and Ja Morant. So like if you can get Steph Curry or like
right,
Klay Thompson, whoever is like
Klay Thompson,
whoever's a magnitude better, like you just get the better, right?
Of course.
But if you're just talking about fit and like specific type of player, it is a small. It's a better younger Jay Crowder. It is a small forward with size who can defend and knock down threes. The guy who, because here's a real question about Dylan Brooks is, and as you go into say playoff series against certain types of teams with bigger, more athletic wings, what's Dylan Brooks look like against, you know, an average night in over 82 games? What's he look like in a playoff series where Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are the wings on the floor, right?
Right.
It's a different question. And does his athleticism get exposed in those types of situations? I think you need an athletic wing with length who can be your primary defender against the Kawhis and the LeBrons and the Giannises and those kind of players in the league.
except for one of those kind of players, except for Paul George. You would love to have Paul George on this team. Right. Like, he'd be the sort of quintessential guy.
But you can name role players.
Who would be a guy? Like, yeah.
I'll throw out an obscure name. Actually, I threw it out on a podcast a couple weeks ago. And Hurley and I were talking because we talk about obscure people in the NBA. OG Anunoby with Toronto is going to be a restricted free agent, not this summer, but next summer. 6'8", athletic, plus defender, good three-point shooter. That's a guy, like, 2 years from now, I'd probably, given the way the Grizz are currently constructed, I'd try to sign that guy. That kind of guy. He's not a star. But that's a guy who can guard.
You can only afford so many stars, too.
This is right.
You know,
so that's the kind of guy in the draft, that's the kind of player I'm interested in speculating about, right? Like, who's the athletic 6'8", 6'9", guy who maybe is a little raw right now, but you think can turn into a plus 3-and-D, NBA wing?
Precious Achiuwa.
No, that actually is.
I'm literally a little raw right now. No, athletic.
That's not an option for the Grizzlies because they're not going to have a pick in that range. Exactly. But that is exactly the kind of guy I think would make sense for the Grizzlies to try to speculate on. Is exactly that kind of player. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they're 500. Woohoo! There's a stat out there. I don't know who the other ones were. That this is the Grizzlies. One of the three late teams. If you're talking about when you got to 500 in a season for the first time late in the season, do you have the stat, Jeffrey?
I do, Jeff.
What is it?
The Grizzlies improved to 24-24 on the season, the first time all season sitting at 500 after starting the season as many as 10 games under 500. According to Elias Sports Bureau, Memphis's 48 games played to reach 500 for the first time is the fourth most by any team the past 30 seasons. All three teams that took longer wound up making the playoffs.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it? That all three teams, I don't know who they would be, but it suggests...
They were the 2003-04 Heat, the 94-95 Hawks, and the 2010-2011 76ers.
They were all in the East.
All right. Well,
but yeah. It all in the East. But also, there's a certain... They're playing for something, they're getting better over the course of a year, and then they wind up in the playoffs. We had my son Peter on before. The cushion that they have is actually a meaningful cushion.
It grows more meaningful every day.
And it goes more meaningful every day. I mean, the thing he had was, like, the Pelicans...
are five games back right now.
They're 10 games under 500, the Pelicans are.
Right.
If the number Peter said was, if you want to get to 42 wins, which seems like 42 wins might get you in the playoffs, right? It seems like it might.
Yeah.
Grizzlies have to go 18-16. Totally doable, right? 18-16, totally doable. Pelicans, to do the same thing, would have to go 23-11.
The Grizzlies and the Pelicans play each other three more times. Those are big games for the Pelicans, right?
Right.
If the Pelicans run the table on the Grizzlies, it becomes much more of a real scenario for them. Because that's a three-game swing, in those three games. But no, that cushion becomes more meaningful every single day. Every day that cushion maintains what it is, the odds tick up. And last night, they didn't gain ground gained ground on teams that didn't play. But every team that matters won last night.
Right.
But they didn't lose any ground, right?
Right. All-star release today, right?
Yep.
And also the participants, everything is the whole spiel.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
The Rising Star stuff.
So all-star today, presumably, we talked about this yesterday. You don't believe Ja will make it, although one can make a case.
Oh no, I think it's very much a long shot.
Right.
But I think he has earned his way at least into the conversation.
You said you did have, and we talked about the West yesterday. You have objections to the East. Who's the starter?
I don't have objections. It's just these starters are not the starters I would have picked. I mean, I don't object to any of them.
They were
the East starters. I believe it's Kemba Walker, Trae Young, Pascal Siakam, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid.
And who do you want?
I would have, to me, Jimmy Butler is like maybe the second or third best player in the East this year. So I would have Jimmy Butler on the team. I would have him over Siakam because they're listing Butler as front court. And then in the back court, there are two or three players I'd probably take over Trae Young. I'd probably go Ben Simmons.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Chris, thank you very much. We will. You have a piece coming up at some point. Is it coming up today? The 10? It's not about sports stuff. Is it going up today?
It's not. I'm writing it today.
You're writing it today. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. That is Chris Harrington.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.